This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, let's pull back the curtain a little bit here. Callis, are we having difficulties getting Trey Essex?
No, I said he's on. I just told you that in your ear.
Oh, but I don't see him on our little computer in here.
Okay, well, I wait until you introduce him before I cut to him. Watch.
Oh.
See, Trey Essex joins us now. There you go.
Hey, there he is.
Trey Essex. Good morning, Trey. Thank you for joining us, buddy.
Good morning. Look at you guys getting all fancy and stuff with the video call-ins and whatnot. Okay. I see you doing big things.
See, I could have seen it where you'd be like, nah, it's too early for my face to be on the screen here. But you're looking fresh as a daisy compared to us, Trey.
I'm always beautiful, man. Got to get up. Got to get going, man.
So the Steelers take...
I'm always ready for the camera.
They take Troy Faitanu 20th overall. Your assessment of the pick, and what do you think of the guy? And do you think he should play left tackle or right tackle?
First of all, fantastic pick, man. We actually had our pick of the litter at number 20, amazingly. I think with the run on the quarterbacks and the receivers early, we were able to really choose who we really wanted. And I honestly didn't think Troy was going to be there at number 20, but he was. And I'm ecstatic. I mean, he is everything that I want as far as tackle or guard. I think he can play any one of the four positions up front and outside of center. He brings a nasty disposition to the O-line, and that's what we need. We need an attitude changer to go along with Broderick. Somebody just instill that type of Steeler mentality up front and to just give us the type of force we need in the run game. Well, coming with this new offense with Arthur Smith, knowing with what L does last year, and that's having consistent drives. And running the ball is going to help us do that, help keep our offense on the field and our defense fresh, which is our defense was ran to a damn nub last year. And this is definitely going to help that out tremendously.
Should he play right tackle and Broderick left tackle? Broderick right tackle? He play left tackle? Does it matter? What would you do? How would you assign their duties whenever you have Broderick Jones in Faitanu?
Look, if I'm just looking at him right now, how I would look at him if I had to play a game tomorrow, I would be like Broderick at left tackle and put Troy at right tackle. That would just be. But, dude, like, these guys are so position flexible these days. Broderick obviously able to come in at right tackle. Hadn't done it at all at Georgia. Well, did it some, but not his specialty was left tackle, but came in at right tackle. And you saw the shift in the offensive line. He was able to adjust and impose his will at the right side, even though he was mostly a left tackle. So these kids can, once they get into camp, and I think when Coach Myers gets after them, gets to see how they move and how Arthur wants to really focus his offense on, are we going to be a more predominantly right side running team? And is that Troy's specialty versus what the quarterbacks want to do in the RPO type game? Like, all that stuff is going to come out in training camp and OTAs, and it'll all reveal itself. But right now, I wouldn't pigeonhole either one of those spots.
Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. One of the knocks on him from some experts out there, Trey, is that he's a little short, 6'3". That's why he's got some buzz to play inside in the NFL, which he called himself lazy analysis. What's more important for an offensive lineman, for a tackle more specifically? Is it the arm length or is it the height?
Arm length. I mean, we had a tackle who's made a hell of a career being on the short side, and Kelvin Beachum, who had a fantastic career with Pittsburgh and then later on in Arizona, Jacksonville, the Jets. He's etched out a 12-plus year career, and it's all because he has these tremendously long gorilla arms, and they helped him out tremendously. And that's what you need. I think actually being on the shorter side gives you some leverage with some of these shorter DNs who get up underneath you really fast, the bendy types. So you actually have an advantage there. This whole 6'8 long arm prototype, that's such an old adage that doesn't apply to today's game anymore. These left tackles, right tackles are athletic. And if you have the long arms to keep guys at bay, then you are able to play those positions at a high level.
Is it an absolute must for them to get a center today in the second or even in the third round?
I think so. I think in the second or third round, we have to get somebody who is a bona fide center, who's played a lot of snaps, either as Zach Frazier, JPJ, or SVP. I say that because I always forget his whole name. I just know it's SVP.
That's Scott Van Pelt, yeah.
There we go. Not Scott Van Pelt, but the Pran. Cedric Van Pran. So I think either three of those guys who have a lot of experience playing center at a high level would be a must for us in these next two picks. I know guys are talking about Nick Herberg has been penciled in right now as a starter. I think they may take a look at James Daniels, who has some experience playing center. I thought that might have been the best move. If in a perfect world, work with me, guys, here. Mm-hmm. If we move James Daniels to center and put Troy at right guard, I think we could be an extremely people mover type of offensive line. Have him next to Broderick on the right side. But I don't know. A lot of people don't have that much faith in Dan Moore Jr., you know. And so we'll see. But, yeah, I think a center would be the wise move to go, and then we can go from there.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Do you think Dan Moore Jr. could play guard in the NFL?
I don't think so. Not effectively. But that might be what he's relegated to if they move Troy to one of the tackle positions and keep Broderick at one of the other ones. And he's going to end up being that sixth man off the bench. I think with all the experience he has, he still holds a lot of value on the offensive line. Because he started every single game since 2021. So he has like 30-plus starts, I'm guessing. So the kid, you can't substitute that experience. And even though they weren't necessarily high level starts, he had some really good moments. So I think he's definitely the swing tackle. And then Nick Herbert's probably the swing guard if we draft the center here in the next two rounds. But I don't see him moving inside.
If the Steelers are in position to make this move and to trade for Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, which player would you trade for?
Actually, that's a tough one. Shoot. I think I would go Deebo just because he's a Swiss Army knife. He offers so much, and he's just the way he plays fits more in with our mentality than a lot of receivers in the league. He has that Hines Ward type of mentality where he's going to get some of the tough yards. He's a ferocious blocker. He gets after it. I think he fits more in line with what what we think our mentality is as the black and gold in Pittsburgh. I love Ayuk too. I think he's a good player. He's not worth a first round pick. I'm glad we did not trade a first round pick for him. Ecstatic about that. But if I had to choose, I think I would choose Deebo.
Last thing here for you, Trey. If, let's say at 51, you got Zach Frazier from West Virginia and you got Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon sitting there, which of those two would you prefer?
I know what you want me to say.
What do you mean?
I know who you want me to say. And actually, you know what? I like Zach Frazier a lot. And I think he's more in tune with the ways of Western PA than anybody else that's left in the draft. And I just love his film, man. He gets after it. He's a dog. JPJ is too. Don't get me wrong. I guess I heard some less than stellar reports about his mentality. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why he's dropped and it wasn't a first-round pick, even though centers in general don't go in the first round. But if I had to choose, I think Zach would fit in very well with what we want to do in Pittsburgh in that ground game.
Trey, I hate to lie to you. I am going to ask you one more question. Graham Barton, and thank you. Graham Barton, the center out of Duke, who hadn't played center since his freshman year. I mean, did you like the pick of Fatanu more than Graham Barton? Because there were some within the Steelers organization, at least the report was, that they thought of this guy as a generational kind of player.
I like Graham Barton a lot. I would have been really happy with him, you know. But it's 1A, 1B. Like, I'm not upset we didn't get him. I'm very happy with the pick. But I would have been ecstatic with what Barton too. Tampa Bay got a great player, and him is going to be interesting because I don't know exactly he's going to play center right away. I know that's what everybody has him penciled in, but because he's so versatile and he's probably the best athlete as far as all the linemen that came out this year, I just like what Troy brings from a mentality dog perspective. I think he has the most dog out of all the players that we're first-round talents, and I think we picked the right one.
Yeah, Doran, you sent me the tweet of Troy Fatanu blocking without his helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Just running out there pancaking dudes, no helmet, just running around.
You know who he reminds me of is one of my draft mates, Chris Kimuatu.
Mm-hmm.
2005 out of Utah, sixth-round draft pick. He had his own nickname. He was, back when you can make a wedge, like, opposing teams called him Wedge because he just was a wedge all by him damn self.
He was mean,
so
dude.
That's kind of dog he was.
He would peel guys off the pile late, man. He did not care.
Yes.
He did not. That's my brother right there. And he has a lot of those same traits, so I'm excited.
Trey, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thanks, Trey.
That's Trey Essex, former Steelers offensive lineman. So he did like Graham Barton, but really happy with the pick. The Chris Kimuatu comparison there. I mean, we're talking about, I don't want to do this to Chris, but we're talking about that mentality, but with a player with significantly more pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a third team All-American who was the left tackle on the best offensive line in the country last year in Washington.
Yeah.
So you got that and you're a jerk like on the field.
Yes.
Oh my God.
You need
let's
it.
Go.
You need it. That's exactly what they need. They absolutely need that. They need some dog in that offensive line. And you know, I absolutely love the pick. Absolutely love it.
I love to hear that comparison. And I love you just we're sitting right across from each other. Instead of just showing me on your phone, you just keep DMing me videos of Troy Fa'atanu blowing people up. That's killing guys.
Mm-hmm. He's nasty.
Diving at legs.
Athletic too.
They're supposed to blow the whistle when the helmet comes off, by the way.
Oh my God.
They are.
Maybe they did. Maybe he didn't care.
Maybe they did. He was playing through the echo of the whistle.
Yes.
Craig Wolfley always said, we would like to play through the whistle from, I forget what he said.
Oh, my God.
He said something. He also says, Craig Wolfley has an axiom where he says he's tougher than woodpecker lips. I've heard this guy described the same way. Troy Fa'atanu.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.